Let us pray. Gracious and Holy One, on this Pentecost Sunday, this birthday of the church, we gather as your people to celebrate the gift of ministry, of community, of being with one another and of this church. And we pray, O God, for healing in our world, as yet again we have experienced violence through terror. And yet, O God, we are your church, a place of hope and healing and reconciliation. And now, as we hear your word proclaimed, may our spirits be lifted and may we be connected to you and to one another. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So 30 years ago, last weekend, in a hot, stinking hot day in Orillia, Ontario, I wore this fancy outfit, and this exact outfit, and I think I kind of still rock it. You mean 30 years later? I think it still fits-ish. It was when I began my journey into ordered ministry in the United Church, and some of the people who were there that day are present today. My brother and sister-in-law, Alan Cathy, and my niece, Megan, although Megan wasn't actually physically present outside yet, but she was still there, as was Sarah, for the same exact reason, and we began the journey. And as I look out today, and as I've been thinking about 30 years, because 30 years is a significant period of time. In fact, my good friend Daniel, where are you? Hello, Daniel. My good friend Daniel this morning said, "Christopher, 30 years, that's impressive. That's much longer than I've been alive." Thank you so much. But what I've realized is I've been doing all this thinking of the different parts of my life that have been woven together that have brought me to where I am, but have supported me all the time in this 30-year journey. And the people who have been part of that are here. All the different parts of my life are here today. And as you know, sometimes emotions and I are close, so I'm going to carry this with me because it's frankly just simpler that way. But all the aspects of my life are here, and this is my village. It's taken a village to raise a minister, and all the different parts are here. But what's unusual is, well, anybody here raised in a village or a small town? Small town, yep. Okay, so you know what happens in a village or a small town? Everybody knows everybody, right? And probably a fair amount of what their lives are all about, right? But you don't know each other in this village, because this is my village, and so I'm going to spend time today sharing the story of my ministry and introducing you to the different parts of my village. And I'm going to walk you through, and Daniel, can you come on up to the front? Those of you who don't know, this is Daniel Reed. He's our Minister of Children and Youth and also doing his internship with us. And don't tell him, cover your ears for a second. He's doing a fantastic job. I just love working with Daniel. I really, really do. It's okay. No, I know you didn't hear a thing. So what I want to do today is talk to Daniel. Take him through my village, because it's how do you thrive in 30 years of ministry? How 30 years from now you'll be standing in a place just like this, hopefully with more hair than me, but that you'll have had that experience of an incredible opportunity that I've had. So I want to start with my family, my extended family, and that's my cousin David over there. I'm going to wander around, and some of you may not be able to see me fully, but that's... I'll be back up there next week. So that's my cousin David and Wanda and my cousin Margot, and our fathers were brothers. So the importance to them, for me, is that we have this family story. It was our great-grandfather who came to Canada, who went out west and was that Methodist circuit rider in northern Alberta, and we share that story. We share the story of the Depression, when our family was so poor that my father had to be sent away because there wasn't enough money to keep the family together. And how those brothers, the four brothers, built lives of enormous value after that depression. And so these people keep me grounded because they tell me who I am and who my story is. The other thing I've got are some friends, and I see my friend David is around. I thought I saw David around here, but I have a group of friends who I went to high school with who don't care I'm a minister. They simply don't care. Like, for some of them, they think, that's great, and others, okay, and for some, it's a little weird. But the important thing is that I can walk into a room without the minister walking in with me. And I highly recommend you have a group of people who don't care that you're a minister, because you need that. It helps you remain fully human by having people who think, okay, it's weird, but we still love you anyway. That's really, really important. So I've got my cousins, I've got my friends, I've got more family. I'm coming back to you, don't worry. But I now want to take you to a group of people who are here today from my former congregation at Westminster, and this is when I'm getting out the Kleenex. Because you just saw, Sarah and Elizabeth read, hello, they read scripture, and these are the people in these two pews plus who raised my daughters. They actually, Wendy and I thought we did, but if you talk to all these people, they will tell you that they did with an, oh dear, there we go, I didn't see that picture. Anyway, but these are the people who did it. And they did an amazing job. I mean, I think you guys are great. They did an amazing job. But I also got to help to raise their kids. And one of them is here today. I got to help raise her. I did a great job. And we had an amazing 18 years together. It was amazing, the work we did and we shared. It was just an incredible journey that I had the privilege to share with these people. But here's the thing that they don't tell you. What they don't tell you is that when it's time to go, it breaks your heart. It breaks your heart. And you are heartbroken because you have these deep, long relationships. And, yeah. Yeah, here, take some. Yeah, I know, them too. But it does, it breaks your heart because you love them so much. You just love them so much. And it does, and nobody tells you the grief that you carry when you leave a community. And then you come to another community and you say, well, I'm not going to love them like I love those other people because it hurt too much. I'm not going to put myself through that kind of pain again because it just ripped out my heart and I grieved. I grieved. So I won't love them again, but you know what? Darn it. Darn it, you just do. Because there's Connie Buck here. Because how can you not love a church with Connie Buck in it? I mean, Connie Buck, who came to see one of Sarah's plays and walked three flights of stairs on a really hot night in the spring to see her. And I thought, oh, I'm going to have to carry Connie up the third flight of stairs. But she came. She came and she showed up to things, and this community has transformed my kid's life. I don't know, is Jennifer Duchesne here today? I don't know if Jennifer's here. So Jennifer had coffee with me, and Jennifer and I were talking about our daughters, because she's got two girls, I have two girls, and I was talking about Elizabeth. Elizabeth was feeling stuck, and then Jennifer said, well, I've got a career coach I sent my kids to. Maybe she should talk to her. And she did. And it literally changed Elizabeth's life. She's now a human resources coordinator at Heart and Stroke. And she wouldn't be without that conversation with Jennifer and all the things that fit together. And all the ways that my life has weaved together with how people have provided love and care and support to our whole family all through my ministry. It's just so incredible to have these connections and this love that you get in the church. What you get in the church. So, this is my immediate family. This is my brother and sister-in-law. I won the lottery. The in-law lottery. I won the lottery. I did. I absolutely won the lottery because you're going to need support at times. In my family has supported me and cared for me and been a listening ear. And you need that in ministry. You need family around you who loves you and supports you and is there when you're caring for your aging parents and things. They've just been amazing. And I have amazing nieces and nephews who I am just so proud of and who I love so much. And each of them are different and unique, and they're great parents now, and I've seen that. And I've had the privilege of watching them grow into adults and see how they are and talk to them about things and watch them develop. And it's just such a, it's a privilege. And you need that, again, that support and that care. And my kids. I think everybody here knows how much I adore my daughters. Yeah. I'll tell you a story that I want you to remember this. When Sarah must have been about 4 or 5, it was a very busy time at church. I had just started, and I was working. So I'm heading to the front door. Sarah comes running after me saying, "Daddy, don't go. Don't go, Daddy. Don't go, Daddy," and wraps herself around my legs. I know. And that was a message to me. Family first. Remember your family, because they're amazing, and you need them. And my family has supported me all the time. And if you're lucky, really lucky, if you have 2 daughters, they'll grow up and their partners will be fine men. And I know the character of these 2 men. I know their character. I have another friend of mine here I want to talk about before I come back to my spouse, Wendy. This is Gary Polonsky. And Gary, I don't know what to say about Gary, except he's one of the finest men I've ever met. Gary is past president of Durham College and the University of Ontario Institute of Technology. Gary and I worked together when I was at Westminster. We did projects together, and he invited me to be part of the journey to create a university. It was insane. A university in Oshawa? Oh, please. But Gary said, MIT of the North. And he took something that everyone thought was never going to happen, and he made it happen. And I learned leadership. Every breakfast I've had with Gary was like a master's class in leadership. And his mission has been to, and through education, to raise people up to the middle class so that they can raise their families with dignity. To raise people up in the middle class so they can raise their families with dignity. And there are people now who have jobs, who are paying mortgages, who are feeding their families because of what this man did. And there should be a statue to him in Oshawa because he has changed and transformed a whole community because of his vision. And we in the church need to have a vision that strong and that powerful, that is that transformative. And that's what Gary taught me. The vision. If you have the vision, people will follow. So now I need to talk about my spouse. And I want to tell you a little bit about Wendy and the life she has to lead and put up with. So this is what happens every Sunday after church, every single Sunday after church. I'm at the back of the church. She comes up and I said, "Was the sermon okay?" "I thought it was okay. Did you think it was okay?" She says, "Yeah, no, it was fine." "Fine? Fine, fine is a C. Did I just preach a C?" No, honey, it's fine. It was okay. No, there was some good stuff." "Oh, okay. It was all right? Okay." So that's at the back of the church. Now we're in the car, driving home. "So, honey, the sermon. How was the sermon? I thought that had some good stuff in it. Didn't think it had some good stuff? I didn't mean to go as long as I did last Sunday. I am sorry. But it did. But I thought it had some good. Do you think it was okay?" "Yes. It was fine." "Fine?" Now we're at the lunch table. "So, Wendy, about the sermon." Now, she hasn't smothered me in my sleep, but that's her life. And to be in ministry, it is a family affair. It impacts the whole family. Because here's the thing, when most other people change their jobs, they don't change their community. But they've had to change their community because I changed my work. And they grieved too. and they found new community, and they've learned that no matter where they go in their lives, there will be a church that will be there for them and that will welcome them. I have an amazing partner. We've been doing this together, you know, June 14th, is that the date? Thank you. June 14th, 1976 is the date of our first official date. We saw at the Crest Theater, The Man Who Would Be King, and don't tell anybody, but I actually kissed her in the middle of the movie. I know. Appalled my children. My children are appalled at that. But what I have is the kind of partner who is supportive, who listens, who tells me when I'm wrong in a loving way, but who has been a part of my life, and just, I couldn't do this work without her and without the family that surrounds me. I am so, so blessed. Because all here, all these people, everybody, all of you, it's about love. 1 Corinthians 13, love is patient, love is kind, love is not envious or boastful. And without love, what are we? A clanging gong or a clashing cymbal. You know what I've wondered for 30 years? What would a clashing cymbal actually sound like? Look what I've got. So, thank you, Eleanor, and everyone can thank Eleanor personally for these later. So what does a clashing cymbal really sound like? Well, so try imagine talking over this. It'd be very hard to talk over the clashing cymbal. Can I keep these? Anne, thank you, Anne. But here's the thing. If we don't have love as ministers, we're just noise. We're just noise. We are just a clanging cymbal. We're just noise. That's why 1 Corinthians 13 was read today. I also had read the Beatitudes. And the thing about the Beatitudes, do we really believe them? Do we really believe the meek will inherit the earth? Do we really believe what blessings are? Our job is not only to believe them, but to make them come true in a community. There was another terrorist attack in London, and I wanted to make sure my family was okay. And I checked that they're fine. But it's dreadful, because I don't know, my nieces or nephews are wandering London at night. They could have been hit. And we see it again and again and again and again. And we come back and we see blessed are those and say, blessed are those who mourn. We say, blessed are the peacemakers. And we say the greatest thing we have is love. The greatest is love. And if that is what is at the root of your ministry, then 30 years, my friend, will go by in a blink of an eye, and every single moment will have been a blessing. Thanks be to God, and amen.